Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade from TimingResearch.com, episode number 93 for September 10th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 20 people submitted up to five symbols each. And if you are subscribed, you should have received an email right before this with a symbol list. And we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. And we are broadcasting live or recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and it will be available later on YouTube and also the audio only version on all the major podcast networks. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe, get up those updates. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today I have arranged for Larry Gaines of Power Cycle Trading and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com to join us again, and Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thank you, David, and welcome everybody. Larry is going to start out by introducing himself. We've got a lot of activity in the markets here. In addition to the list that we have in front of us, there seems to be things going on in oil trying to turn up, the TLT trying to turn down, and the Russell and the transports doing a lot better lately than they have in quite a while. So in addition to what we're looking at here, I'll be probably asking Larry to give a little insight into those things as well. But before we get started, Larry, a quick introduction on yourself for those who have not been aware of your situation, and also Power Cycle Trading.
Okay, thanks for having me here again today, David, and appreciate it. It's always a lot of fun to go through the trades and look at different setups. I really enjoy doing that. So I've been actively in trading in the markets for over 30 years, ran a large international oil trading desk for 10 years, and so I've been involved in all the different commodities, oil to, you know, all the different futures commodities and bonds and foreign exchange. So, broad background within all the markets, and started Power Cycle Trading back in 2009-2010. And it's an educational trading training site where we use our trading model for direction and then use options for trading any of the trade setups for managing the risk and, you know, adding additional great leverage from the options that you get. So really focused on using different option strategies, a lot of option strategies, and then our directional trading model. So come check us out at powercycletrading.com, and would enjoy having you visit and try out a membership. So that's a little background on myself.
Sure. Great. And again, at the end of the broadcast, you'll be able to explain to anyone what type of special offers you might have and other little things that might be available to them as well. Okay, we've got a big long list here. And again, the markets have been pretty active. Again, I mentioned a few of them in the beginning of the segment. Also, the precious metals have rolled over a little bit too. So maybe a little insight into that as we get going as well. But let's start out with the list. CHD is Church & Dwight, non-durable household products, down day to day a little bit on some pretty reasonable volume. What are we seeing there? Is there a turn, or what do you think, Larry?
Well, I think you missed the short opportunity. I would not be selling it short here, right into major moving average. It's the 200 period or 200 day moving average. And so first time down to that, you never want to pull the trigger, try to sell. That's major support. So right here, I would do nothing. I would be looking for a bounce, kind of a bounce off of that. And other than that, this would be a sell on any kind of retracement bounce. So you can kind of, if you put some Fibonacci levels in here, the key next resistance would be right here from this prior low that you saw yesterday. So, you know, you get a bounce back up here into this also 150 period moving average or any higher bounce, and then sell any kind of, you know, failure there. But it would not be selling it short here on the 200 period or 200 day moving average. That's such a key support level. So, you know, if you missed, this would have been the perfect sell right there on that break of those. You can see those prior lows, and that's the break of the 100 day moving average. So that's where you would, if you were fortunate enough to be watching it and sold that break there, you know, then you want to be covering, be out right here.
It definitely looks like the shorts are pressing it because the volume is more than twice normal today on a down day. So obviously they saw the break that you saw, and then now they're pressing it. And, sometimes, Larry, when you see a high volume sell-off, do you sometimes see a lighter volume rally, and that's your opportunity if you want to get on the sell side?
Yeah, so you can see down here, see the volume down below. You can see how big the volume was when it was hit right here. This was last week. It hit that 100 period moving average. You see the bounce back up. So this is a big flush right here. You can see all these 4 days of volume. So what I look at is the momentum shift. So right here, I would not do anything. I'd see if we get a retracement back up, and you could put your Fibonacci levels in here. So let's say tomorrow this does hold. Then what you could do is, you know, you put your Fib levels in from that swing high to low to see what the retracement would be and if there's any commitment to that retracement. So let's say today we get this, we come in tomorrow, we get a little bit of a higher low. So we have this as a pivot low. Then what I'd do is set this as a Fibonacci. So I put my, you know, prior swing high right, probably right here to this low here and see what type of retracement we get back to the upside. So if it can't even get up to this 74 and fails, then you definitely could go short again for another, you know, move back down to that 71 area, the 200-day moving average, see if we retest that. But the other thing I like to do is look at the momentum side of things. So these are momentum-based indicators. You can see this is an hourly time frame. This is a 4-hour and a daily. So I'd want to watch the kind of the hourly time frame and see if we can get any kind of pushback up. If we can't get any pushback up with momentum, then you could look at re-establishing a new short. So especially if you can get back towards that 74, 75 area and it fails there at the 382, that'd be the perfect place to try to re-enter a short.
And this is the software that people can get more information on at the end of the broadcast, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is our. Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is an excellent way to look at things sometimes on a three different time zone bracket. I think that's very helpful. And then you've got the Fib numbers up there and all the moving averages. That's a lot of information to put into the soup and come up with a decent recipe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to give a lot of good visual trading tools, and these are just a few of the ones that I've designed for our trading model. Let me show you the other couple things that we like to look at. If I can, too many charts open, hold on. We've got another indicator that I like that shows all the different time frames that are in a what we call a volatility squeeze. And that can be very helpful for those are very powerful patterns. So here's what I was looking for. So right here, you see all these different time frames. We've got from 2 minute, this is on a 2 minute chart. So we've got 2 minute all the way up to weekly. And you can see here what's, you know, in red, that means it's in what we call a volatility squeeze. It's kind of consolidation where the market price is squeezing. And these can really give you some potentially big, you know, price movement either up or down. So what we like to look at is, okay, we got a 15 minute squeeze, a 20 minute squeeze. You can see the daily triggered, okay, it's in purple. And so you have that big flush to the downside here. You can see the daily right here. It had a kind of a one bar squeeze and just really got creamed. But what we can look for is this 15 minute time frame. If it starts to push to the upside tomorrow, this could see how it is right now. You can see the price. Let me make this broader here, maximize that. So what we're seeing here on the lower time frames is that the squeeze setting up. See the dots? So you're getting a little bit of a consolidation coiling phase here. So this could push it up a little bit to have that retracement rally. And then we'd be looking up here to that 382. If it can't get any better than the 382 and fails there, then, you know, that'd be a good place to reshort. But I would not short it right here. I'd see if we get any retracement, and it should at least try to get back to that 382 retracement. If it can't get there, then this is, you know, definitely going lower.
Yes, and this information can be done on day trading, swing trading, as well as position trading, correct?
Yeah, that is absolutely right, yeah.
So really, whatever your goal and objective is, and some people have multi-goals and objectives, this software would come in handy on all of it.
Yeah, so we're starting to get these reversal arrows, so this could, you know, it got hit so hard, we could get that snapback rally.
I mean, somebody might want to cover their shorts, obviously, so that might give you the bounce right there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's usually what we'll start at first, you know, short covering, and then see if there's anything to carry it through. But, you know, this just kind of typical. You'd want to follow the Fibonacci levels. And again, that would be your first probably level right about here, 75. And also then you can look at the moving average activity. So I like to look at that as well. So if we look here at the daily time frame, you can see here, this is the 200-day moving average. And the next, you know, closest moving average up will be this 100 period in purple. So that's around 75.50. So you could get a nice bounce and still mm-hmm. have a very weak price pattern.
Having the Fib numbers at the tip of your fingers is very valuable. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I really.
There's a lot of mathematics to figuring that out if you weren't using something like this, that's for sure.
Definitely you should use it. So if anybody out there is not using Fibonacci, it's one thing you want to start being familiar with because it really gives you price points to trade to and targets. So it's very, very important.
All right, we're going to swing over to the semiconductors. SMH has gone up to this 120 area about three times and has not been able to get through it yet. NVIDIA, NVDA, is up today about 1%. And, you know, it has been been trying to rebound, but it itself has some things going on right in this neighborhood. So what are you seeing on NVIDIA?
NVIDIA, you know, it's already had a great move. It looks, you know, and it looks poised for more of a move. It's had such an extension to the upside. I wouldn't be chasing it here, but you can see right here, these highs, this is from the daily highs. Prior high was back here on the 24th of July. So we got up to there last week, got through it, retraced, came back down to hold it. So that's a good technical sign there, holding support. We've got, again, on our indicators here, you can see my arrow, the daily time frame. We've got what we call positive momentum cycle. One is a momentum measurement and two is momentum. And so those are both positive. So it looks good. So any kind of, kind of setup as far as a lower time frame showing a push to the upside, NVIDIA still has more potential room to go. So then we look at the, you know, other charts. Let's just pull up a regular chart here. This is a daily, and let me get rid of this. You can see the Fib levels. This is where the Fib levels really come in handy for you, because you can see what's the next potential target. So if I took, you know, I took this prior major high here, that was the prior swing high. We call it a swing high. That's where it topped out on the 24th of July, and then had a big move down, finally bottomed out here. Okay, so we have our Fib level. So here you can see there was that 382 retracement level that we were just kind of watching on the CHD. So if you cannot get through that 382, then it's weak. But this went right through that, went back above the 200 period moving average right here, okay, and then had a big pop through that 618, came back down and retraced back to that 382, went back above the 618, very key there, came into that 786, and now we're up at these prior highs. So that's holding those prior highs. Next target's right there, 186, 187. That looks like, you know, you could easily get there tomorrow. And then you've got all this price action up here. So you've got more potential upside for NVIDIA all the way back up here to 193 and even more. So, you know, it's not one that I would chase right here, but this definitely has the momentum going for it. And you don't want to be shorting this one. It can still go.
Yeah, if that SMH breaks above 120, you would imagine NVIDIA is going to be in the party.
Yeah, that's one of the leaders there. So if you look at SMH here, it's right there, like you're saying, up there at 120. And again, it's, you know, this looks good for, you know, a push back to those prior highs, because we're back above that 618. So as long as it holds this kind of area here, 118, you see the gap down in here. This is poised for a retest of that prior high up at 123.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn over to the Athletic Wear here, Lulu. And basically, it's a company that's had a very good period of time here, 110 to 204 in the last 52 weeks. But it did gap way up. I guess it was on earnings. I'm not sure. But it did come down and fill that gap. Now the question is, where are we going to go from the 190 area? So what are you seeing on Lulu?
Well, with Lulu, yeah, you can see the earnings. It just had that fantastic spike to the upside. Now we're coming back down. You've got this big gap area in here. I would do nothing. I'd just see if we could fill this gap. And if it fills the gap, though, that's a good support zone. So if you take a, you know, bigger chart just with the moving averages, et cetera, so you can see this gap area in here. Right there, it fills the gap right about here at 188. And you can see kind of the price action through there. So this one I would just leave alone for now. See if it can pull back a little bit more. You can see kind of put your eyeball it by putting some horizontal line here to look at the price points. So you can see all that price action through there. Okay, so it could definitely, that's where it's going to potentially come down into this area here. And that's what you want it to do. You don't want to chase it. Just let it come back down into this area here, back into the moving average retracement down there. It's kind of the reversion to the mean. It got too extended. And then see if it consolidates sideways and then look for the next move up. But I would not do anything here. I wouldn't short it. I wouldn't buy it. You know, just let it just naturally come down and have that reversion to the mean if it can and pull back a little bit more.
The next one we're going to do is back to the semis. It's Advanced Micro Devices. Again, it's had a good 52 weeks from the December time frame. But again, similar to the other ones, it's in a neighborhood where it's a little bit stalled out. What do we see on AMD?
Yeah, again, we've got this is a volatility squeeze. You can see all the dots here. This is what the pattern that we identify. So it's in a kind of this consolidation phase where it's churning. Right now, it's a very mixed signals. I would not be doing anything. Just give it some time and then mark. What you want to do is, again, use your Fibonacci levels and then mark your support resistance levels to see if it can hold certain key levels and then break. So right here, I'd be just watching this for potential, see how tight consolidated that price action is. And so this is going to eventually either break up or break down. So you could put some trend lines in here. You can see kind of how it's starting to form a wedge. And so then the question is, okay, which way will it break? So that's where we like to use momentum. So if I just do simple trend lines here, you know, you kind of right here, you see we're starting to form this kind of wedge here. And then we've got a wedge to the bottom. So put in another trend line, say right in here. So you can see this pennant kind of formation. So it's either going to break up or break down. So then the next question is, okay, what we like to do is look at momentum for that guide as to where it's going to break. So if I come up here to a daily time frame and I look at momentum, we can see it's negative right here. So it's not telling us which way it wants to break yet. So you just have, this one is just in a kind of a no man's land. So then we break it down on the lower time frames and we want to see if that's giving us any indication. So if I just put it on a 30-minute time frame, and you can see it's starting to shift up a little bit. See, on the 30 minutes, see how it's starting to shift?
Yeah.
Right, so this could shift it up. All right. So then you go to the next time frame, that could push it into the hourly time frame. So right now it's trying to bottom here, and we could get a little bit more push back up. And then you want to see if it can then get that momentum to break through this pennant. And then you can put your fib levels in there to see what the targets are. So for that, I'd put it in from this prior swing high here to this swing low. That's the wrong one. Hold on. So I'd put in swing high to low for measurement, see where we could go for our next targets, and also use any option activity that you see. That can also be a good sign. So I go from that high to this low here. So you get support right through there at, call it 29.5, but it needs to take out 382. And then you've got the 50% retracement here and the 618. So it's got a lot of work to do. So right here, it's just coiling. And this could eventually, this could actually break, you know, to the downside as well. So it's not telling us what it wants to do yet. So I do nothing here, but just follow it on a lower time frame. So 5 minute, 15, 30 minute, kind of like that, to see what the time frames tell you it's going to do next.
Yeah, I think one of the risks in the two semis is that their longer term moving averages are now substantially underneath the current price.
Yeah, you can see, you know, if you look at a weekly time frame at the moving averages, that'll tell you a lot too. So you can see here, just on AMD, you can see all the moving averages. It's actually right there sitting on that 21 period, but let's take a look at SMH.
Right.
You know, it's the broad kind of indication of that SMH that'll give you a good idea. So when we look at that, it's still, you know, the uptrend is still intact. You still got a, you know, cluster of all these major moving averages on the weekly down below. So, you know, AMD, probably the potential is for it probably to go back up. But again, it's not one to get into right now.
Yeah, the beauty of the different time frames is as a momentum person, you know, you can kind of get the feeling and the vibe out of a market if it's going to go from walk to run to sprint.
Exactly. Yeah, good analogy. So yeah, you know, I always like to break it down for, you know, the time frames here on this chart. You'll see, you know, 2 minute, I like to look at a 5 minute. So let's put it to a 5 minute, and then, you know, like walk, you know, and then start looking at the 5 minute. That's the first intraday kind of time frame I'll look at, and then go to 30 minute, then hourly, etc. So SMH, you can see here, see this hourly time frame, see how consolidated and compressed that is. So that's a volatility squeeze on the 60 minutes. See, it's in red. Now this is poised to potentially break to the upside. So this is what could trigger the next, give it momentum to go to that next level. All right. So that next level being up here to that prior high. So you want to watch this tomorrow. See how tight that is. This could easily trigger tomorrow. So start watching your 5 minute time frame right here. Look at that. Look at that at the close. See how that broke to the upside. So the momentum shifted up on the close. So that looks really good for tomorrow. So all the markets really on the close got a big pop, you know, so the momentum came in and a lot of buying came in right at the end of the day. So we could probably see a little bit of momentum back to the upside. See the S&P futures, see the 5 minutes, see the momentum shift. So my cycle one and two are momentum measurements. Look at that, just blow to the upside, right back into yesterday's closing price. So that's a very positive signal, momentum on the close, NASDAQ. You'll see the same. It all came in right in the last few minutes. All the machines kicked in. So we should, you know, without barring any kind of, you know, weird tweet or whatever, the markets are setting up here, in my opinion, looking for a move higher.
The short interest in SMH is quite high. So that might be telling us that it's used as a hedging device against other semiconductor stocks.
Yeah. What's the short interest?
It said on my screen, it said 108%.
Wow.
Which is enormous. So that would, that's what's telling me right off the bat that it's being used primarily as a hedging device against maybe portfolios of these things. You know,
that would be great. Let's take a look. We can look real quick here.
And AMD's got 12.62% short interest. So, you know, if they can blow through the 120 level, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, who might have hedges on, might take them off.
Yeah, one second. Let me take a look here. If we get, you can go to, if you don't have one place to check short interest a real quick way is you go to Yahoo Finance.
Okay.
And it's a really good little free tool for you. Let me pull that up.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if my information is.
So we'll double check, see what they have. Yahoo Finance short interest. Ow, that looks scary. Finance here. Let's see. Pull that up. Okay. So what we want to do is we'll pull up SMH.
Uh huh.
And we'll come up here to statistics right here.
I don't think they gave you, SM.
Oh, I got the wrong. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they didn't recognize you. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. SMH. Okay. Yep. So now statistics, we're in here. Okay. So let's take a look, see what they say. Yeah, it's not giving it usually on the stocks. It'll give you the short interest.
How about if you throw in AMD? I've got AMD at 12% or better. Then maybe on AMD they'll do it.
Okay, AMD. Let's see here. Make sure I'm looking at the right thing.
Because the semis are right at a very critical area here, you know, and if they start going and there is heavy short interest, that could be a propellant.
Okay, so here you go. You've got 1.08 billion, and then you've got, you can see where the shares held by institutions share short, short ratio 1.86. So percent of float 12%, which is not too big, but not too small either. But, if you get something 30% or more, that's where you get a big squeeze. Yeah. Let's see what Beyond Meat is right now. That had such a huge amount of short interest, it really started going crazy. Not much now either. It's pretty much all the shorts got wiped out. Let's take a look at Tesla. So here's an example, short ratio, shares short, 29%. So you're getting quite a bigger percentage of the float short. So when you start getting over 30%, those, when they get in a short squeeze, can really fly.
All right, let's zip back over to the list here. And, cause this stock here, has news today cause they came out with some new features and benefits and, bells and whistles, I believe with the, Apple Watch and, something to do with Apple TV. Maybe Apple Pay even as well, and some other things. The camera's supposed to be, and maybe the face won't break as easily, and all kinds of different stuff. So we got Apple up today about over 1% on my screen. And what are you seeing on Apple? It's been trying to get above that 233 52 week high, but
I like it. This one we've been watching all week to get any move and a close above 215. I'll be looking to get into this. This has a good potential to go back up and retest that prior high. So just looking. You can see here just from a support resistance here, this 215 was a kind of a key area. And so we got that close above it today. So you can see all that price action through there. So I like it. I think it looks decent for a push back to the prior highs here of around 220. Right there would be my target. And then from there, back up towards 230. But right now for this week and next week, 220 would be a kind of the target. So we'll be looking at that tomorrow in our trading room. So we've been watching this all week for a 215 push right here. And you can see all of our momentum indicators. Here's the 1 hour. We've got positive momentum on cycle 1-2, positive momentum on cycle 1 and 2 on the 4 hour. I like to look at the 1 hour, 4 hour daily. So it looks good. I mean, there's no guarantee on anything, but this one, if you're going to take a shot, this looks like a good shot to take for additional upside. And our target then would be that prior high right there. So kind of a 220, 221. And then if it gets through there, 230, which is a 1272 extension.
Yeah, these guys have a ton of dough to create new revenue streams, and their services area has been roaring to the upside. So they definitely are looking at expanding their revenue streams, and they've got the money to go create them. So it's going to be a very interesting stock as it unfolds. But betting against Apple has been a bad idea and remains so, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see here, just for example, the short float, not much. Short percent share short 1%. So you can see the big difference. Nobody wants to short Apple.
Okay, we're over at the payment processing area, which has also had a pretty good year, but it's rolled over here today pretty good. Visa down about $5. And, they got competition coming in from PayPal and other areas. So what are we thinking on Visa here as far as, this rollover off of the 188 area? Do we think that's, maybe a follow through to the downside, or do we think it's a pullback?
Looking at Visa here, let me pull up this daily chart. You can see again here, momentum has shifted down. The short would have been right here on that break of that 50 simple moving average. Now it has such a big flush down. So, and here it gets a little dangerous shorting, but let's pull this chart up here a little bit better. So you can see the big support is going to be right here. I mean, you just kind of eyeball this down here. See that support? So down around 167, that was the low back in August. So this would be your swing low to high. And then we can put our Fib levels in. I think it's kind of made its move up, but let's take a closer look.
Yeah, Apple Pay make could be a challenge for this company, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think Apple Pay is gonna have an effect on all the payment companies. You see, they were all down, Square, PayPal, every one of them. But here's support right here, 618-175. I would not short it here. I'll just let it see if it kind of holds that, consolidates and holds that 175. And then, possibly a break of that, you could put on a short, see if you can get a bigger flush back down to that prior low. If you look at the weekly here, so here's that low to here, and you've got a 21 period moving average. This one, if this starts on a closing basis, starts to close back below this low here from today, I guess 173, then yeah, you could take a shot at shorting it, see if you can get a fall through down to here. But I'd be careful with the markets flushing to the upside today on the close. This could get a little bit of a snap back tomorrow.
Yeah. And the other thing is regarding this, we had volume three times normal, or at least better than twice normal, which, similar to the other example you were giving, is sometimes when you get that kind of high volume flush, you'll get a lower volume throwback, and that's your opportunity if you want to get on the sell side. And maybe 170, up towards 180 might be a better neighborhood to look at it, huh?
Yeah, right here. You see where that price action is there, mm-hmm. and all the moving averages, the cluster moving averages. So if it can't get through this area here, this year 50 simple, 20, see, I've got a major cluster moving averages. So this would be what you look at, for tomorrow, next day, see if it retraces back up here towards 179, and then look at momentum from a smaller time frame down. Like, if it gets up to that 179 right here, you can see how it went out on the 5 minute here, pushing up. So tomorrow, the next day, see if we get a retracement back towards that 179. And then if it fails, you get momentum shifting down. That's where you'd want to try to pick off a short if you're interested in doing that.
Right.
Right in there.
All right, let's switch over to biotech, a different sector. This company has been left for dead ever since it went down back in March. Although it does have, a history of volatility, it's up $3 here today. And are we seeing a bit of a turn down here? And is it worth a little bite at the apple on BIIB, Biogen?
BIIB, yeah, starting to try to pull into some support here. You can see, again, here's that, let's pull this up here. All right, so if we look here at the, just a bigger, broader chart here, just to see what's been happening, you can see it's just been just hammered down, it just cratered, and then it's just been consolidating sideways for, since March of 2018. Look at that massive consolidation. So, it has a lot of potential to the upside. Here you can see, if we just take this prior, let me put it on a weekly, kind of get a bigger perspective. You've got here on the weekly, though, here's the major resistance right there. That's a 200 week moving average. You got a cluster. So this could get back. That'd be still a huge move. It could easily retrace. See this squeeze here? This is a weekly. See that consolidation phase, that those dots. So this one has potential. This one has potential to have a big pop. First resistance would be kind of right in here. You can see that price action there. So about 260 to 279, 280, and then into here. So we could put our fib levels in to get a better idea here. So I'd probably go from this, it's hard to find it, probably from this maybe swing high right here to low. Let's see here. And this one definitely has some potential because it's been consolidating down here at these lows since April of 2019, March really. See how that's been down there for six months. So this does look really good for a poised move up. And see, here's a reversal pattern. If I was going to do something here, this could be a good one. And this is a very defined risk trade. If it breaks below 215, you stop out. This has really good potential. So you could easily get a push towards 260. So that's $30. So, and very defined risk low right here. It looks pretty good. A lot of different things you could do with this kind of trade too. You could do what we call calendar diagonals. You can do all kinds of call debit spreads. You could do some really defined risk type of trades, but it's got some potentially good momentum, and you see our momentum indicators are shifting up. So this would definitely, I got a buy signal here. So the daily cycle one and two are up. And then I like to look at my lower time frames, the 1 hour, 4 hour. If those are aligned to the upside, then that would be a buy signal. So we've got the 4 hours up right here. You can see momentum shift, and then the hourly negative on one. So if tomorrow you get an hourly shift here, this looks pretty decent. And again, like I said, you just keep your stop right here at those prior lows.
With regards to the next one on the docket here, S&P Global, it's under investment advisors as Dow Jones Industry Group. It had a huge run from 156 in December when everything was in the tank up to as high as almost 270 on the 9th of September. Now, for some reason, it's down at 252, and it's got double volume, and it's down $8 here today. So is this coming back to reality a little bit, or is this just a pullback in a massive bull market?
Let's take a look. Here's my daily time frame. Yeah, we've got a big sell-off here over the last, you know, 1 or 2 days, basically coming down here. This is the 50 simple moving average. You can see the price support through here. All of our momentum on the shorter time frames have turned down so far. Let's take a look on the pullback here from a weekly longer term basis. Fantastic move up. You could come all the way back down here to this 21 period moving average, and this is just kind of a retracement. So still in a really solid uptrend, but extended. And so we could get more of a, you know, pull back here. I just wouldn't touch it right now. See if it can get a pull back in here towards closer to this level here, 239 or so. And let's put some Fib levels in here from the swing low here to the swing high. And that'll give you an idea too, based on Fibonacci where it could go. So it could easily go back down to this 226. Let's put it into a daily to see if we get some better, more defined Fib levels. So you can see the price action through here. So kind of coming into that support zone. This is the 50 simple moving average. That's a good key moving average. So 249 right here is going to be support. And then we've got, you can just kind of see how it stair steps kind of went here, 240 down here. I just leave it alone for right now. You can see this arrow here. This is a, on a daily, this is a 513 period moving average cross. So that's pretty decent momentum signal a lot of times when we get that. So, but you know, here's your support and then to right here. So we can put Fib levels right from here, this swing low to the swing high as well. And sitting right there on that 618. So, you know, it could definitely pull back here to that 50 and then on down to 241 and a half. See all that price action there. So would not do anything here. Just see how it flushes and let's see if it has more a reversion or if it starts to consolidate here.
Great. All right. This next one, the big guy, Amazon.
You want to pause with the official list for a minute? And
good.
We had a live request for UNP. And then if you want to do some individual trade ideas.
Okay. UNP.
Okay. Let's take a look. UNP.
Yeah, was that a request? Or I think so.
Yeah, UMP was from the live audience.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be Union Pacific. The transports have totally rolled up to the upside here, so it'll be very interesting to see if this is obviously going to be one of the runners.
Okay, so first off, you can see that UNP, you know, the transports have had a pretty hard hit to the downside, but right here, this is a 200 period moving average right there. So the key takeaway here is that it broke below the 200 day, came up, see how it failed here, pushed back down, and now it's been up above that 200 day for about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, consolidating, holding there. Let's change our Fib levels here. So it's trying to hold up here, consolidate, so that's a good thing. Clear all these levels out. But you've got a huge amount of cluster of moving averages up here to that 170. So you can see all that resistance here. But, you know, I would not be shorting it here. If it started to break back below that 200-day moving average, then I'd get all over it for another short. Mm. But here it could just kind of consolidate, retrace back up and kind of have a grind higher. So you can see all that support here. So this is major, just what I call this mapping out your support resistance. And then it gives you an idea what it can do. So if we look here, this is now going to be major support. Okay. See all that price action through there, all the way back through there. And then we've got, see all that price action through here, just eyeballing it. So you've got major resistance there. So you get, an area in here where you probably don't want to do anything on it. I mean, you could maybe start seeing if it gets a little bit push higher, but I would not be, there's so many other things that you can trade and chase, but
right.
It looks okay. I mean, you know, it's pushing back up above the 200-day moving average. You could have a lot of shorts that are in it. So you still could get some squeeze to the upside. So yeah, it's going to do anything, I'd buy it. And momentum shifted up, telling you the buy signal is in place based on momentum.
Yeah, that 160 area ballpark is, you know, definitely an area where if it got taken out, that would change the narrative quite a bit. And of course, getting above 180 into new highs, that would change the narrative to, something's happening. Because, you know, there is a lot of stimulus going on around the world. You know, the ECB is supposed to be stimulating, and then Germany wants to do something possibly. And then Asia is always stimulating, and we're trying to drop our interest rates. So this recession talk, which everybody is, accepted, the Federal Reserve chairman just said he sees no recession in the immediate future. So, you know, it's going to be a pretty good dogfight, I think.
Yeah, so see here. So here's the key area. So if it starts breaking that 160, then you got some good downside. But here, you know, it's just probably going to go up into this area here. You could just churn around, chop, chop, chop for a while.
How about is there any stocks that you're looking at or?
Yeah, we did Boeing today. Looks pretty good here. Boeing is one that we picked up on here today. I've been watching it, kind of similar pattern here. You had that big pop to the upside and then it got to through the 200-day moving average, pulled back down through it, and now we're starting to get back above it. So if we just look here, all of our momentum indicators, you can see here the 1 hour, 4 hour, everything's shifted up, daily's up. And then if you look at the longer term time frame, we've got, here's the weekly, we've got again a weekly squeeze here, so this could have a big potential pop to the upside longer term. We've got our first target here at about 375, and then after that it's back up to that 390 area. You can see where the fib levels are. Mm-hmm. But I think this looks pretty good, and there's good option activity here at the 375 for the monthly expiration. So this is one that we did a couple different things on today, actually. So butterfly for 375 looks good, and then call debit spread. So this one looks pretty decent. We look at the weekly time frame. You see the weekly here, the momentum shifted up. Mm-hmm. This has potential for a big bigger move, much bigger move, just because of that consolidation phase this weekly. If that triggers, this could easily then push a lot higher. Let's take a look at fib levels to give targets for that. So I'd be looking here, see this swing low. We already did this swing high to low, and we get, let me put these levels in. So we've got this next target, 375, then 380, 398. Okay. So you can see all these price right there. And then you've got this gap area here. So there's a lot of big potential for Boeing.
Yeah. It's a two company industry race, Airbus and them. So when they sort this 757 stuff out, there's going to be some activity there.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Anything else you're looking at?
That was main one. And then also then Apple here today, if we get 215. Right. So we'll look at that tomorrow. But this was kind of the main one we had on our target list. And then there's so many other ones that look like they're going to break down. So
how about could I throw a few at you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's look at British Petroleum, BP.
Okay. Let's take a look.
Yeah, it pays about 6.5% dividend almost, which is certainly not shabby. And then it's coming off the lows, and I'm just wondering out loud, is it coming off the lows or just stalling out before it goes further?
Okay, let's take a look. So BP, let me pull that up.
A lot of those oil stocks, Occidental Petroleum, Oxy, and Royal Dutch, yeah. they pay handsome dividends. You don't want it to go down after you buy it, but if they're stable to higher, a little bit of movement plus a good dividend is not a bad total return.
Yeah, you can see here just from a momentum standpoint, you can see how it's shifted up. So this, you're coming in here. Here's your weekly 200 period moving average. So that's your first resistance here. If it can clear that, then you've got, target up here to about 39, 40 bucks. I mean, I wouldn't get too excited. There's plenty of energy. There's plenty of oil. I can't get too excited about the energy market. And that's one place I spent most of my career was in energy, but it's not something that tends to do a whole lot because there's right now we've got plenty of oil, but you get different geopolitical things that happen. And that is what is going on right now with Saudi, the Aramco, their IPO, big talk, bullish talk there and blah, blah, blah. But, we've got just kind of a bounce here. I would look here, XLE, you can see it just got hit so hard. This is just kind of a retracement. But I would not get, let's just take a look at XLE. That's been where all the money's been kind of rotating back into just from, I think, money being short the energy sector and getting squeezed.
Right.
So I would not be loading the boat on energy, but let's take a look at XLE. But again, like you said, there's so many different pipeline company infrastructures, companies that have great dividends that they pay. So, if you can get in and just sit, they're not too bad. So if we look at XLE, here's your major resistance right here. Here's your daily 200 period moving average. You can see here the last time it came up here, this was back in July, failed. So let's see, you want to see it work, chip away on that, see if it can break. So it's had a pretty good move off that low right here. So, and here's the weekly. So you can see massive resistance up here.
Yeah, there is.
So, yeah. So, it could, definitely get 65 up into here. Definitely have a little bit more upside, but not something I'd be going too crazy long term.
Too many clouds above. Here's one, though, that a lot of people are interested in, I think, and that is the GDXJ, the juniors on GDX. Obviously, you had a big, massive move in the gold, 200 bucks to the upside, and now it's rolled over a bit. Some people might want to see what the fibs are saying as far as where some support might be if you wanted to put a little dough into the gold area.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see here it's had that beautiful move to the upside, right? So here's your weekly. You can just kind of see where it could potentially come back down to. you know, right into here at 35. I mean, just, you know, could retrace. Here's your 21 period moving average on the weekly. So 36, I'd say could easily come back to 35, see if it comes back to this area here, and then consolidates and then see if you can get a bigger push up. Right here with the equities, the rotation back into equities and bonds coming off, the you can see the money flowing out of these kind of safe haven gold plays and going a little bit more back into equity. So you can see the bonds, 10-year bonds, kind of same thing. So as long as the bonds are coming off, you're going to see gold coming off. And so just wait it out. Don't do anything. I mean, don't chase it up here. You might get a better entry if you just wait it out. We've got the ECB coming up here on Thursday. So supposedly they're going to be going back into 40 billion euro a month buying. So that could actually affect the bonds, though, you know, to our bonds to have money start flowing back in. You see the bond maybe push back up for right now, but let's see if the bonds can pull back. And as long as the bonds are showing weakness, that'll also affect gold. All right. So you see gold. So you just kind of have to kind of wait a little bit and don't chase right here. Here's gold. So all the money flocked into gold, GDX, all those. And right now you've got it loaded to the upside. The boat's crowded, so you could easily get more of a pullback.
What kind of Fib numbers are there out there on the gold to get an idea of retracement levels?
Yeah. So we can look at that here. I'll just pull up the weekly here. So if we look here, here's your kind of our current swing high. And then I'd look back down here. Let's see where we can find this kind of low down in here. You can see kind of where it's stabilized here.
Right.
And this was a weekly squeeze. Look when that triggered, it just really roared to the upside. So let's put a Fib levels in from there.
Citigroup's on file saying we're going to see 2,000 on the gold and it's going to be stronger for longer. Not that they're right all the time, but that's, you know, some research showing that.
Okay, so we could easily get a pullback here at 14 and a half. We're currently, here's the 8-period moving average. Here's the 382 and here's your 50. So I could easily see it. I mean, it could easily pull back here to 1,400. I think a big key, though, will be this Thursday, see what the ECB does and how that affects our bond market. And if our bond market starts getting bid, then you'll probably see gold start getting bid again.
Right.
If you look at this from a monthly perspective, macro view, and get an idea what city, where city's coming from, you'll probably see it right here. Let's take a look. I can zoom out here on gold. So, you know, here's, they're looking up here. So you can definitely see, you know, potential where it could potentially go up here to 1800 and then 1900, et cetera. Let's take a look. And we're currently, if we look at this prior high here, that was the high back in September of 2011 to the low. Here we're at some resistance right here on that 618. So that's why we're stalling also technically right here at 1600. Okay, so we're stalling. 618 to me is like one of the key Fib levels. So we're stalling right here a little bit right now.
Right.
It could easily pull back into where we are currently or even lower down to 382. But if it gets through that 618, then it opens up the door for that, you know, move longer term back up to that prior high.
Yeah. So if it takes out the high, the momentum player would probably want to take a hard look at getting involved.
If it takes out that prior high, then you can see the next level is this.
It opens up the window.
Yeah. But you know, that's a huge move.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, you know, sometimes these things happen when things change. You know, yeah, the negative yielding debt has gone from about $5 trillion to $16 trillion in a year. So at some point, you know, if they're going to do a fiscal package over in Europe and they're going to stimulate over in Europe and you get any GDP growth or inflation growth in Europe, there's going to be a stampede out of these low yielding and negative yielding bonds. And I don't know anyone, I don't know anybody who'd buy them except the government. I guess the governments will have to buy them back, right?
The only place you can really go is to our bond market, which is eventually getting back down to flat two or into gold. So there you go.
Yeah. And our percentage debt to GDP is off the charts again too.
Yeah.
So it'll be, I think, you know, to be honest, this is obviously off the technical charts aside, the relationship of all that debt and the people buying into the gold, obviously some people are hedging that the end result of all that debt being issued is not going to work out so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically that's it. Because everyone's always saying, where's the big bubble? Where's the big bubble? Well, I mean, if $5 trillion to $17 trillion or $16 trillion in a year is not a bubble, what is, right?
That's right. There's always a bubble forming someplace. So that'd be a good one to be looking at.
All right, let's jump back to, you want to jump back to the list and just hit a couple more before we close out?
Okay, here's Amazon was, I think, next up.
Yeah.
So you see Amazon, you know, here, let me pull up a different chart. It was starting to roll over, look kind of iffy here today, but then right into the close, we got a lot of buying coming in. So we look at Amazon, again, its key support is going to be that 200-day moving average. And right here, you see how it's been down here since early August, just consolidating, chip, held, pushed back up into that 382. Here's your Fib level from swing high to low, and could not push through there. So this is going to be one that is kind of in a little bit of a battle zone here to see if it can push back above that 382. We did get some good movement right into the close like everything else. So it's probably going to have a little bit of upside tomorrow just from that momentum into the close. But you can see here, it was struggling when it got back to that 382 retracement level here at 1850 and then pulled back. So I think that right here needs to hold kind of right where it is right here. If this starts to fail, we start getting up close below that 1805, then it's going to be retesting back here to that 200-day moving average. But if it can hold in here, then I think you've got a target. The next target is going to be up here to this 1850, which is that 382, and then potentially right into here, which is the 50 simple moving average at about 1870.
So what could be spooking Amazon a bit is that the payment processors are rolling over pretty hard. And obviously, if payment processors are rolling over hard, retailers like Amazon would be a little bit nervous, right?
Could be. Yeah, it's definitely stalled out here.
Hey, one last thing that's not on the list that might be interesting is the Chinese version of Amazon, Baba, B-A-B-A. Do you see anything happening over there?
Let's take a look.
Because the Chinese consumer is supposed to be pretty darn healthy.
Yeah, it's been pretty much on fire from what I'm hearing. So you can see Baba is had this big move up. You can see the upside resistance right here, 180, mm-hmm. and good support right here. So it's kind of sideways, you know, from 165, 180. So it'd be, you know, if it can break that 180 and then hold, consolidate, then it's got a potential for a good upside move. Let's see what we're seeing here from a squeeze standpoint. Not really a whole lot. You can see this was a squeeze that triggered today on the 5 minute. But it's just right now in a kind of a churning sideways pattern. So let's take a look here. We can put our Fib levels in real quick. Let's get this back up. Momentum is positive, kind of neutral, actually. Let me get a different chart. Yeah, you know, momentum here on the daily is positive. So the kind of direction is up, but it's struggling. So we've got resistance here, 180.50, and then good support down in here. So let's put a Fib levels in. Go all the way back to that prior major swing high to low here. And here we go. We're on the 50%. So retracement of 50%. So as long as it can hold this 50%, and you can see how it's just been chipping up that 618, stuck 50% down to 382, it's just chipping. What it needs to do is get back above the 618 and start showing some consolidation, building that as support, and then it can be back off to the races.
Hey, one last one before we close out. It's another Chinese-oriented one from the standpoint of a lot of their business comes from China. It's WYNN, W-Y-N-N. It has turned up off the 105 area ballpark, and it's trading up today 116 and change I got. So are we getting a legitimate turn in WYNN?
Well, until we get here, so you can see here again is that big booger, the 200-day or 200-period moving average. This one we've been following. Let's take a look here. And you can see from the swing high to the swing low, it hadn't even made it back to the 382. So I wouldn't be getting too excited. You could definitely pick it up here for a move back to 120, but then it's going to have a lot of overhead resistance right there. So we've got a little bit of a volatility squeeze on the daily, and which could propel it up here, but I wouldn't be getting too excited about it here. You can see the weekly, huge weekly 200-period moving average, 200-day moving average, a lot of resistance.
It could just be filling in that gap, huh?
Yeah, it could be. And yeah, right here, you can see it, that gap. I'd be probably looking at maybe gets up here and fails. This could be actually one to reshort.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the top of the hour here, Larry. So if you'd be kind enough just to, again, just reintroduce yourself and your website there.
Yeah.
And let people know how they can get a hold of you and what other deals they can get right now.
Yeah. So again, thanks for having me here today. It was a lot of fun. I always enjoy this. So yeah, come check us out. Visit powercycletrading.com. We're always having some live free events. So you can just come here, upcoming live events, click on that. You can see what we have coming up. And so for this Saturday, we're having How to Trade Volatility Breakouts, Trading Tools and Option Strategies Used, free webinar. So come join us for this Saturday event. So it'll be at 11 a.m. Eastern, and learn a lot about our directional trading model that we use. Like I was showing you a lot of stuff here today, and then some of the different strategies that we like to use for trading the different types of breakouts that we look at. And so that's powercycletrading.com. And we've got a lot lot of free content here, a lot of great articles that we've written about different various things on options, kind of a lot of option related things. So a lot of great free articles that you can come check out, and a lot of free toolboxes and good ebooks and all kinds of good stuff in all of our trading software. I've got, you know, 7 different trading models and stuff that you can pick up from our website or from our different courses that we have. So these are all some of our trading tools that I've developed.
Yeah, this is all good stuff. I've been around a long time, and you know, the information that he's showing you, moving averages, Fibonacci numbers, different time frames, short term, swing trades, position trades, there's a lot to learn here. And the best part of it, he also has a good support system when you're trying to learn how these things work. But clearly there's a lot of information that would be helpful to you when you're trying to figure out buys and sells. And so I would suggest strongly that everyone investigate what he's got over there and see how it can help you trading. That's it for me at the top of the hour. I'm Jim Kenny, optionprofessor.com. If you'd like to know things that I'm looking at and contact me at all, it's simply shoot me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com. Right now, I'm going to thank Larry for being here, because I think people learned an awful lot. We went over a lot of information that I think will be helpful. And now I'm going to turn it back over to David.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, David.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion. And just a quick reminder to everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network to get instant updates on new episodes when they're posted. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get the full episode and show notes for each episode. And just want to thank my guests again for today, Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Ciao.